7 months that Spurs forward Kawhi Leonard will play in a game. He returns from a quads issue to make his season debut against the Mavericks. There's one big question regarding Leonard right now, notes ESPN's Jeff Goodman.
How quickly does Kawhi become Kawhi again? Yeah. I mean, we know how hard he plays. They've got to kind of slow him down, in a sense, from trying to come back too quickly, because he doesn't know anything else other than to play at 100% in both ends.
Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson both returned from injuries to the Cavaliers lineup versus the Hawks. Dwayne Wade will not play because of soreness in his knee. Cavs look to LeBron James to play point guard with the second unit in Wade's absence. A Tuesday night NBA doubleheader set to tip off on ESPN TV and the ESPN app, Lakers-Knicks. That's followed by the Sixers and the Timberwolves. Washington's John Wall, out since November 25th with a knee issue, could be back tomorrow against Memphis. NHL, the streaking Kings look to run their winning streak to 9 straight tonight when they take on the Devils. NFL, ESPN's reporting, Patriots close to agreement on a 2-year deal with free agent receiver Kenny Britt. Baseball, Mets GM Sandy Alderson said at the winter meetings today he's inclined to keep right-hander Matt Harvey rather than trade him. The Mets reportedly had talked to at least 2 teams about trading Harvey in exchange for a reliever. And the Orioles are speaking with other teams about moving Manny Machado. ESPN's Buster only reporting that one of the teams that has expressed interest in Machado would be the division rival Yankees. New York currently is in need of a third baseman.
Trey Wingo here, coming up Wednesday. Robert Griffin III is in studio, plus Charles Barkley and Monday Night Football's John Gruden join. It's Golic and Wingo, Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
AutoZone presents Max Performance. AutoZone knows better engine performance means taking it to the max. Max fuel economy, max engine life, and yeah, max savings. And it all starts with the right fuel treatment. That's why right now you can save on STP gas treatment and get 2 for $5. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Must buy 2. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The offseason news is piling up with word that John Hunter Nemechek is headed to Ganassi. I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
In order to maximize a vehicle's performance and efficiency, the proper adjustments need to be made based on the road ahead. That's true for both race car drivers on the track and for truck drivers hauling freight on the highway. But if your truck's equipped with a Detroit DT12 automated manual transmission with intelligent powertrain management, adjustments are made automatically based on GPS terrain mapping, maximizing performance and efficiency. Don't just want better business solutions, demand them. Learn more at demanddetroit.com.
Chip Ganassi Racing said today John Hunter Nemechek would drive multiple Xfinity Series races in its number 42 Camaros next season, which Kyle Larson is expected to drive some as well. Nemechek won 5 races in the Camping World Truck Series for his family team, and dad Joe Nemechek says he hopes to keep the truck rolling.
I'm having a lot of fun doing the truck stuff. We're trying to, again, find another driver or more drivers that want to come and run some races, trying to find some money so I can run some more races. Hopefully we can find some stuff and John Hunter can run a couple races during the year.
Elsewhere, Richard Childress Racing says it's re-signed Caterpillar to select races with its number 31 car driven by Ryan Newman for 2018. Details are at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05 on the button. Welcome back and welcome in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. We'll get you up until 7 o'clock tonight. You're hearing us on one of two frequencies, 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, heard all across eastern Iowa, or 107.5 if you're on the FM dial. That's our North Gym in Cedar Rapids. South Gym, 106.3 FM, currently tied up with Iowa City High and Iowa City West girls basketball. The boys will follow a doubleheader tonight on the South Gym, so keep it tuned here. You're also going to hear a little high school basketball on these frequencies after the show is over tonight. We've got Dubuque Hempstead and Cedar Rapids Washington. Scott Unash on the call of the action there. Plenty more to get to, including a discussion at the bottom of the hour centered around our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway here in Cedar Rapids. Has the Heisman Trophy lost some of its luster? Is it relevant to college football anymore? There are some statistics about viewership and participation in the Heisman Trophy presentation that are alarming to those who are fans of arguably the biggest trophy in sports. There's not a trophy, I don't think, that's maybe has a higher profile outside of the Stanley Cup, maybe. Look, it's the Heisman Trophy. Everybody, I think if you showed it to 100 people on the street, most people would know the Heisman Trophy. They might even be able to tell you the pose of the trophy, but as Alex demonstrates it here in the
just making
studio.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it's that was good form, too. Not quite Desmond Howard, but then again, nobody is. Let's bring Ed Creech on board from MLBTradeRumors.com. We said we were going to touch base with him down the road after the World Series, and with day two of the winter meetings underway in Orlando at the Swan and Dolphin Resort, what better time to bring our resident Milwaukee Brewers fan on board? And Ed, I want to know what your reaction was, because I'm sure it was similar to mine. Friday night, the reports, oh, hey, the Yankees may be in talks about Giancarlo Stanton with the Marlins. Saturday morning, done deal. Yankees got him.
Well, it does give them a killer lineup, having Judge and Stanton in the middle of that lineup with Gary Sanchez. It is an awesome right-handed lineup. But would Stanton have made the difference in the Astros series? I still think the Yankees need pitching because in the playoffs, as we saw, that good pitching will shut down good hitting, even with the live ball. So on paper, the Yankees have an awesome lineup, and they should be favorites to win the AL East. But I don't think Boston's going to lay down for them. It would be very surprising to me if they don't sign J.D. Martinez, and you're going to see an arms race, really, between the Yankees and the Red Sox in 2018.
The Yankees are also one of the teams that are being tied to Manny Machado right now, although there's some discussion as to whether or not the Orioles would trade him within the division. Your thoughts on whether Baltimore is doing the right thing here by listening to offers on Machado?
I think so. It does not look like they're going to sign him long-term, either as an extension this year or as a free agent. And I think Baltimore, take a look at their rotation. It's horrible. Their farm system is mediocre. So I really think this will be the time, especially now. And I think this is the trickle-down effect of Stanton agreeing to the trade with the Yankees. I think you're going to see, although the Blue Jays have denied it, I think they're on the cusp of a rebuild. I think you're seeing it now with the Orioles floating Machado's name out there. And I think the Rays are about to throw it in, especially with a lot of chatter about Evan Longoria. So I think you're going to see three teams in the East start to reload, unload their free agents, the expensive veterans, and try to stock up their farm system to compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Ed, one of the teams that has been named in pretty much every rumbling so far this offseason, the St. Louis Cardinals. And we know what happened with Giancarlo Stanton. They were with the San Francisco Giants putting a deal in place, and Stanton would not waive his no-trade clause to go to St. Louis. Where do they go next? I know there's rumors about them zeroing in on Marcell Ozuna. What do they need to get this offseason back on the rails?
Oh, they want a bat. They wanted a big hitter that they can stick in the middle of the lineup. That's why they went after Stanton. I don't think Ozuna's that. I think they've got a glut of outfielders as well. So if you're going to add that bat, I don't think Ozuna would be your best use of your pitching talent, because I think that's what's going to take. I think you're going to have to give up Flaherty or Weaver or even Alex Reyes or Alcantara. So you're going to have to give up pitching to get Ozuna, and I don't know if he's going to be that big of a bat for you. I like Machado. I would shoot the moon with Machado. I think he's a much solid offensive force in the middle of that lineup, and I think they have the prospects that would interest the Orioles. So even though it's a 1 year deal, St. Louis also has the flexibility of playing Machado at short, which is his preference. So I would forego Osuna and go all in on Machado. I think that would be a better bet for the Cardinals.
Sounds like there may be something in the works with the Cardinals trying to work out a trade right now, so we'll keep our eyes there. What about names like Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer for the Cardinals, making that short trip from Kansas City to St. Louis on I-70? Either one of those guys a good fit, in your opinion, for the Cardinals moving forward?
They haven't been tied to them, but I think they would make sense on paper because I think the infield for the Cardinals is a mess. I'm not as high on Hosmer as Scott Boras obviously is. Hosmer's had up and down, up and down. He's a great presence in the clubhouse, a solid first baseman. But again, for the money that I think he's going to command, I don't know if he's got that consistency that I like. Moustakas, I think, is the cream of the third base crop. Again, he's going to cost some money, and I think it would be a nice fit for St. Louis. But again, I don't know if that's where they're looking for right now. I think they would rather to free up the outfield logjam that they have. I think they would prefer to go the trade route than the free agency route for Moustakas. So I think there are other teams that might be more hungry for Moustakas. The Giants, for example, although the Giants front office has said they do not want to sign any free agent who's going to come with the qualifying offer because, as Brian Sabian said recently, they like the idea that they're going to be picking second in every round of the upcoming June draft. So I think, in theory, Moustakas and Hosmer are good fits for St. Louis. Whether or not that's going to be a reciprocal interest on the St. Louis part, I don't think so.
So you brought up Scott Boras there, and he reportedly sent out a 75-page pamphlet to a lot of front office about Jake Arrieta, and reportedly said that Arrieta's worth $200 million. So with Hosmer and Arrieta, what kind of money do you think they're going to be commanding? And the second part of this question, what's realistic as to how much and the year amount that they might get signed for?
I think a lot of it's going to depend on how long the contract is. For Arrieta, I'd be surprised if he gets anything over 5 years. I know Boras, just within the last 24 hours, when the story about the 75-page dossier on Arrieta came out, he was actually talking about he doesn't have as much wear and tear in his arm as some other starters. I'm like, really? Are you serious? Have you seen how he's been the last 2 years? He's more likely to go five innings or less than he is to pitch a seven or eight inning gem. But I think the key thing for Arrieta is that Boras is bypassing the front office and going straight to ownership. And if that is going to be his game plan, I think Arrieta might be a lock to sign with the Nationals, because whatever Boras is selling, the Lerner family is buying, and they've done it with Scherzer. They've done it with his other, some other players that Boras represents. So I think right now, if I was a betting man, I think Arrieta will be in the Washington Nationals rotation next year. I would think if that is the case, if the Nationals are going to sign him, there's going to be a lot of deferred money in that, probably 5 to 7 years. And I would expect it's going to be somewhere between $20 and $25 million. The Nationals have salary restraints. So as I said, it would be a lot of deferred money. So if I'm looking for the Nationals, I'm probably in the neighborhood of 5 years, somewhere between upwards of about $125 million. Hosmer, I would assume, is going to be the same thing. I know Boras could probably be talking somebody into a 10-year deal. I don't see that. It's probably going to be somewhere in that 5 to 7 year range. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets 7 years, if he goes or somewhere over $140 million. I don't think Hosmer's worth $20 million a year, but I'm sure with Boras, again, he's a great snake oil salesman. He may find somebody who's willing to pay that for Hosmer.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com joining us on the program tonight. Let's talk a little bit about the Chicago Cubs. What are the chances Kyle Schwarber is still wearing a Cubs uniform when spring training rolls around?
I think it's a fairly good chance. It looks like the Cubs are more than willing to go the free agent route to solidify their needs. And right now they're looking for pitching. And I think their preference is to do it on the free agent market. And they're willing to spend. I'm a traditional old school guy. I think they overpaid for Chatwood, 3 years, $38 million. I think given traditional stats and his past performance doesn't warrant that. But I think Chatwood's going to be an excellent test case as far as these secondary metrics like velocity, spin rate, ground ball rate, as far as if that's how we're going to truly measure a starting pitcher. So I think over the next 3 years, the Chatwood contract's going to be interesting. Brandon Morrow, it's amazing. This time last year, he didn't have a contract. He had to settle for a free agent deal in January of this year. And here he is getting $18 million to possibly close for the Cubs. So Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are throwing the money around this winter. And I think that's where their focus is. And I still think they love Schwarber. I think they're extremely high on Schwarber. And so unless somebody wants to give them a young, controllable starting pitcher, I think the odds are pretty good that Schwarber is going to be with the Cubs come spring training.
Jed Hoyer, the GM of the Cubs today, said it's very likely they're going to leave the winter meetings with one more pitcher in hand. Who do you think that's going to be, reliever or starter?
I think right now probably a reliever. I still think they're in for Wade Davis. I think they would like to re-sign him and have that nice lockdown back into the bullpen of Morrow and Davis. As far as the high-end starting pitchers, there hasn't been much chatter. So I think if they're going to strike a deal for a pitcher, my guess would probably be a reliever, possibly Davis.
There's been a lot of talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and Alex Colom and Evan Longoria. Any chance, though, those two are on the Rays next year?
I think it's more likely for Longoria. It's really tough to trade the face of the franchise unless you get an extreme haul for him. I think Colom, I think there's a lot of interest for bullpen arm, especially once the market has been set by Davis and Holland. You're going to see what kind of deals they're getting. I think the teams that lose out on Davis and Holland, I think they're going to beat a door down to the Rays and go after Colom because I think he's a solid closer. And I think his price is going to be a lot more inexpensive than what you could sign Davis and Holland for. So Colom, excuse me, will be with some. Colom will be gone. Longoria, I think, will still be with the Rays and will actually end up earning his 10-5 rights with him.
Ed Creech with us from MLBTradeRumors.com. The MLB winter meetings continuing in Orlando until Thursday. Rule 5 draft, lots of stuff to get to. Let's talk about the big story that hit right before the winter meetings began, and that's Shohei Ohtani making his decision and surprising all of the baseball world by turning his back on the Mariners and choosing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. A, do you think he's a good fit with the Angels? And B, are they really going to be able to pull this experiment off where he pitches and probably plays the outfield on days where he's not pitching?
I think so. I think one of the things going in his favor is, granted, they have a full outfield with Upton, Trout, and Calhoun, but I think just giving those guys days of rest, I think you can find that fast in the outfield for Ohtani. I think you, who knows how much longer Pujols is going to play. I mean, part of his deal is a contract, a personal services contract. So it wouldn't surprise me if Pujols is gradually encouraged to fulfill that personal services contract over the next couple of years. And if that's the case, that frees up DH spots for Ohtani. And as of right now, he's the ace of that staff. If Garrett Richards is healthy, that's a nice 1-1A. Now, as far as the rotation, they have a lot. The A's have been decimated the last 2 years. The Angels have been decimated the last 2 years with injuries to their rotation. So I think they're very serious about going to a six-man rotation. And if that's the case, they can pretty much space it out where Ohtani pitches once a week, allows himself to recover and still get some bats either in the outfield, spelling one of the three starters, getting some time at DH. Pujols playing first base, which I think is going to be a disaster, but that's also some flexibility. So I think Mike Scioscia is a veteran, savvy enough manager where he can find the at-bats for Ohtani and probably keep him on it maybe a once and a half times a week a spot start for him. So you're right. The Angels, I think if you were going to handicap the seven teams who are the finalists, I think they would have come in at number seven. But I thought all along with Ohtani coming out when he did, this wasn't going to be about money. This was surely going to be about comfort, a relationship that he could feel during those one-on-one interviews with the field staff, the general manager, and the ownership. And I think that's what it was. I just think with Billy Epler on down, he just felt a connection, and that's why he signed there. Plus, Los Angeles is a major market, but Anaheim is kind of like that sleepy little neighborhood cul-de-sac. So, yes, he's in a major market of L.A., but Anaheim, I don't think there's going to be a lot of media attention on the Angels. Now, granted, with him being there, a lot of Japanese media will be following them, but I think it's going to be this was different than even if he had signed in Seattle or with the Dodgers.
Ed, the Milwaukee Brewers, David Stern says he puts a priority on is going to put a priority on acquiring pitching. There are rumblings that things are going on at the winter meetings. Who are some of those possible targets for the Brewers?
It all depends on how much money they want to spend. They've had horrible luck historically going after high-priced free agents. In this class, that would be Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn. They've just, you know, their track record would either be Jeff Suppan, Randy Wolf, Kyle Loesch, or most recently Matt Garza has been horrible. So I think they're probably going to go on more of a trade for young, controllable talent. I think the name that pops to mind is Chris Archer. I think there's a lot of interesting prospects in the Brewer system. Domingo Santana, if you want to headline it with a veteran. And they have some decent pitching prospects as well that they could package for Chris Archer. I think right now Chris Archer slots in as your number two starter behind Chase Anderson. And he's controllable for the next couple of years on a fairly reasonable salary. So I think right now, and that wouldn't be, you know, the Brewers wouldn't be the only suitor for Chris Archer if the Rays actually made him available. But off the top of my head, as far as trade, that's who I think the Brewers would target would be Chris Archer, especially since I think the Rays are going to be in a sell mode.
I'm glad you brought up Archer because he's one of three names I'm going to throw at you. Are any of these or all of these guys still on their respective teams at the beginning of next season? Gerrit Cole, Matt Harvey, and Chris Archer.
Cole, yes. Harvey, yes. Archer, no. I just think the the Pirates are going to hold out for one last hope and go one last ride. So I think he starts with the Pirates, but it would not surprise me if Gerrit Cole is dealt at the trade deadline. Matt Harvey, I just think it's going to be a case of there's just a lot of risk, a lot of upside. He is a very high-maintenance pitcher, and I'm not talking on the field, I'm talking off the field. And I think it's going to take a very special circumstance for a team to want to inherit that kind of emotional mess. Mickey Callaway and Dave Island, the new manager and pitching coach from the Mets, are high on Harvey. They think they can fix him. And if they can sell Sandy Alderson on that prospect, I think Harvey's going to stay with the Mets, especially since they really don't have a healthy, productive starting rotation outside of Syndergaard and DeGrom.
Ed, there have been a lot of reports about Carlos Gonzalez. He finished his contract coming off of a little bit of a down year last season. And the report is that he wants to sign a short-term deal to get his stock back up. Are there going to be a lot of suitors for what appears to be a pretty low-risk, high-reward situation?
I think so, especially if it's going to be a one-year pillow contract, although I don't think you're going to see anything before the new year. I think this is kind of a deal that's going to take place mid-January, late January. I think it's really going to come down to the wire once all the other chips have settled. I think one thing that might accelerate Gonzalez's market will be when J.D. Martinez signs, because I think that's going to start the domino effect. Because I think of teams who are looking at free agent outfielders, the cornerbacks, it's probably going to be J.D. Martinez. Once he's gone, the team's going to start to focus on Jay Bruce, and then they might take the shot on Carlos Gonzalez. So, and it's also going to be depending on what that one-year commitment is going to be. And will a team try to get a club option or something like that? But I don't think the market for Gonzalez, even though I was reading today about half the league has been tied with some sort of interest in him, I don't think his market is truly going to heat up until Martinez and Bruce signs. So you're probably looking middle of January for Gonzo.
Ed, before we part ways with you tonight, what was your reaction to learning Jack Morris and Alan Trammell are headed for induction in Cooperstown next year?
About time. About time. They should not have waited as long as they did. There was an outstanding article on MLB.com recently. I think it was Phil Rogers who penned it, doing comparison between Alan Trammell and Ozzie Smith. And it's amazing that taking a look at the stats, you can make a very good argument that Alan Trammell was a better shortstop than Ozzie Smith. He just didn't have the flair and the flash that Oz did. And Jack Morris was just the old-fashioned, Give him the baseball, and he'll give you a great outing. I think the great epitome of his career was summed up in that 10-inning World Series Game 7 from Minnesota. I think on that performance alone, he should have been in the Hall on a regular ballot rather than have to go on the modern era like this. But Ted Simmons is another one. I think Ted Simmons should have been included. fell one short, one vote shy. I think Simba should be in there as well. When you see his number stacked up to the catchers that are in the Hall of Fame, he deserves as well. And I think if I had a ballot, Marvin Miller. I don't think anybody has done as much for this game off the field than Marvin Miller did with the ushering in free agency and the player contracts. We would not be talking $200 million contracts for Jake Arrieta if it was not for Marvin Miller. And I think the fact that he's down in the Hall of Fame, I think it's just a bias on from the it's just a bias in baseball. I think what he's done for baseball, many will argue that free agency has been you know, a cardinal sin for baseball and has ruined the game. But I think for where we are right now, Marvin Miller also deserves the Hall. But back to your original question, Jack Morrison and Alan Trammell, for a kid who grew up in Battle Creek, Michigan, watching these guys in their prime, about damn time.
All right. I didn't know you were from Serial City, so I was going to ask you if you think Lou Whitaker should join them, but I'm going to go ahead and guess
Absolutely. Another one. I think they should. It would have been wonderful if Whitaker and Trammell could have gone in together. Sweet Lou, I think, has been a solid second baseman. I'm not as bullish on Whitaker as I am on Morris and Trammell being in the Hall, though.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, a tremendous website, especially over these 4 days with the winter meetings going on in Orlando. We appreciate it, and probably touch base with you around spring training, if that's okay.
Looking forward to it. Hey, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you, your listeners, and all your family and friends. Have a great rest of 2017, and can't wait for 2018.
Same here. Thanks always, Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. And it should be another interesting year for our three teams in the National League Central. I think I disagree with him on Gerrit Cole of the Pirates. I think if they find the right price, he's gone. Chris Archer, anybody on the Rays wearing a Rays uniform, and Evan Longoria included, I think, that teardown is going to get rolling here soon. And then, yeah, Matt Harvey. I know there were rumors earlier in the week about Matt Harvey and Jurickson Profar, the Rangers and the Mets maybe doing a swap, a one-for-one. I don't know whether that got any traction whatsoever before it sort of disappeared into the ether. I'm interested to see there appears to be some rumblings here around the St. Louis Cardinals and the trade front, and the name that keeps popping up is Josh Donaldson, the third baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays, who I think is 32 years old, tremendous RBI and home run machine, the type of power bat that the Cardinals, I think, desperately want to add to that lineup. And I don't know whether there's any smoke here or not, but a lot of Cardinals beat reporters are signaling that it looks like some sort of trade could be brewing involving the Cardinals, and that they are focusing on trades first and then free agency after the winter meetings is over.
That seems to be the route they want to go. And I know a lot of Cardinals fans were frustrated after Giancarlo Stanton said no, and they go back to the last few free agencies where the Cardinals were not able to get anything done on the free agent market. And
Brett Cecil? Don't say they didn't get anything done.
They got less than nothing done. I will say that then.
They signed Jason Hayward a couple years ago. That was a great signing.
Well, no, they traded for
him. That was a trade.
Traded for him.
Some other team signed him as a free agent.
But they seem to be, these past few years, really in on some of these players like David Price and some of these free agents. And then at the last second, somebody else signs him away. And they've been getting a lot of criticism. I didn't think it was warranted in the case of Giancarlo Stanton, because what are you supposed to do? If he doesn't want to go to your team and you put up the entire, all the resources out there to get him, he's not going to waive his no trade clause. It's a little bit of a different situation. Some people thought, well, this is just a sign of nothing to come in the offseason. I said, no way. This ownership knows they need to do something. This front office knows that they need to do something to get a bat or two in their lineup, and they're going to do it. It may not be the move that works out, but there's going to be something that happens between now and opening day to try to improve this lineup. Whether it's Mike Gersh, the new GM, or John Mozeliak, they know they need to do something.
319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us over the final 30 minutes of the show tonight. 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. We're with you until the top of the hour. If you are so inclined, you can catch girls' high school basketball action between Iowa City High and Iowa City West. That is airing right now on 106.3 FM, our South Gym.
Something funny happened during the 5 o'clock hour, Todd. Did you see what happened on the
Donkey
text line?
Basketball?
Yes. I was invited not only to attend a Donkey basketball game, but to play in a Donkey basketball game.
Yes.
Now, the second part of it, I think I'm a little bit too much of a chicken to do.
Well, I think that there may be some sort of company policy against that. And
I'd love to watch, though.
Now, it goes back to we have no problem putting people in race cars at Hawkeye Downs. That was done. But I know that there are issues about things like bowling and slow pitch softball. So I don't know whether donkey basketball would fall into that or not. But you're too much of a chicken for it. I'm too much of a chicken for it. I'm looking through the glass as somebody who I think is far more adventuresome than either you or I. I don't know. I don't know. Don't play favorites, because then you play in one donkey basketball game for charity. Then you got to play in every donkey basketball game for charity. And then it's just, he's got no time to be a producer. It would be donkey basketball fever.
A professional donkey basketball player.
And then LiAngelo and LaMelo show up. And
then he gets a contract in Lithuania.
Everybody's,
and we lose
everybody's speaking Lithuanian and nobody wins. 6:31, speaking of Kyle, he's going to be joining us here shortly for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The Heisman Trophy, is it in trouble, and why don't people care about it anymore? 319-366-1600, that and more when we return.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Meet the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
One bit of great news and one bit of great idea during that break.
A million-dollar idea.
The great news is that Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com has informed me that LaShawn Daniels is going to be with us on Friday's program. LaShawn was supposed to be with us last Friday, and then with the Washington Redskins heading west last week, the plane was actually in the air during the interview, so he couldn't be with us. So we're going to talk with the former Hawkeye running back on Friday's program. The great idea, if we're not going to participate in a donkey basketball game, perhaps KGYM could broadcast a donkey basketball game. We put anything else on our airwaves. Donkey basketball? I think Scott Unash could be the voice of a generation of donkey basketball players.
We have an award-winning announcer in Scott Unash to announce a charity basketball game, donkey basketball game, and apparently this is taking place at Springville, one of the schools within our North Gym.
That's right. It's within the listenership area. And I have to bring this up. We have a weekly KGYM meeting every Wednesday, and I am going to have to bring the UC Unash calling There's old number seven on the fast break. Old number seven being ridden by Mad Jack. That's a reference probably 3530 and six other listeners will get on the program. 634. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson continued their crusade across the honor list today, being named first-team All-Americans by the Sporting News. The duo achieved consensus status yesterday and are now just one more selection away from unanimous All-American status. The American Football Coaches Association will release their team tomorrow and could give the Hawkeyes their first pair of unanimous All-Americans since Chuck Long and Larry Station in 1985. Former Iowa State quarterback Jacob Park has reportedly asked to be released from his scholarship and intends to transfer. Park took an indefinite leave on October 6th for personal reasons and now seems to feel the fans have turned against him and he's not going to get his job back. Iowa women's basketball player Megan Gustafson was named to the Big Ten's weekly honor roll again this week. She's been recognized in every week of the season, and I want to give you an idea of how dominant she's been. Averaging over 21 points per game and 12.5 rebounds on 70% shooting, she's second in the Big Ten in scoring, first in rebounds, and second in the nation in total rebounds and field goal percentage. She also leads the country with 10 double-doubles. She's got the Hawkeyes sitting at 10-1, and today they made their first appearance in the top 25, coming in at 25. We've got some high school basketball tonight, right now over on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. We've got a girl-boy doubleheader between City High and Iowa City West. And then beginning at 7:30, we'll have the Cedar Rapids Washington boys hosting Dubuque Hempstead on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Now I'm taking a look at the Hurtin and Stocker text line here, 3530, talking about the year that the Royals made a big splash in the free agent market, bringing Mark Davis, Juan Gonzalez, and Benito Santiago on board. Reminds me of the era with the Cubs in the early 90s when they decided to let Greg Maddux go, and Jose Guzman, among others, was going to fill the role of Greg Maddux in the rotation. And I'm mixing seasons here, but I think Danny Jackson and Dan Plesac came in like 92 or 93, and that was the start of some very, very cold, miserable years in between the arrival of an emergence of Sammy Sosa. And then, of course, now you look back and say the whole time was tainted. 6:37. I don't know how we get from point A to point B on this program sometimes, but every once in a while, we have to stop at a rest stop like donkey basketball before we get there. 319-366-1600. It is the Hurtin and Stocker text line. Poll question available for you tonight, KGYMradio.com. Is the Heisman Trophy still relevant to college football? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. We're going to take up that discussion next, the final 20 minutes of the program tonight. Back after this.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Ford year-end sales event is in full swing.
Okay, 50-pound bag of dog food, 2-gallon bowl and dish, extra, extra, extra large dog bone?
Yep.
What kind of dog did you adopt?
I got a puppy.
What kind of puppy needs a 5-foot sleeping bed?
A St. Bernard.
Oh, hope you have a big SUV.
I do. It's a Ford Explorer.
The Ford Explorer, with available class-exclusive powerful third-row seating. Oh,
That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday savings. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months plus $1,000 Ford credit cash on a full lineup of Ford SUVs like Explorer, Edge, and Escape. Hurry, offer ends January 2nd, 2018. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by January 2nd, 2018. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Listen, I forgive you. That birthday shout-out to Lester might have been poorly timed and mildly dangerous, but doggone it, you put your heart into it. Besides, forgiveness is what Progressive is all about. That's why our loyal customers enjoy accident forgiveness at no extra cost. So, I forgive you. Even if Lester and the fire department don't. Or the improv troupe. That was bad.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Accident forgiveness not available in all states or situations.
I'm back. That little voice inside your head. You know what would save time? Doing holiday shopping while stocking up for your business. And right now, at Office Depot Office Max, you can save 20% on regular priced office supplies, furniture, and more. Get your 20% coupon at officedepot.com/radio or mention this ad in store. A gift for them, a gift for you.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 12/16. Excludes tech, coffee, appliances, ink, and toner. See coupon for details.
Correct answer 3530 would be Grizzly Adams. Grizzly Adams. That was the Mad Jack and Old Number 7 reference. Old Number 7 was the mule, and Mad Jack was played by Denver Pyle, who many others may recall was Uncle Jesse on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Did 3530 not get your reference?
He did not. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker text line. Talking Heisman Trophy for the final 15-plus minutes of the program tonight. Our poll question today at KGYMradio.com has to do with whether or not the Heisman Trophy still has a place, a coveted place in college football. Viewership in the last 5 years has been cut in half on ESPN for the Heisman Trophy presentation. It was very poor this year, although that probably had to do with the fact that Baker Mayfield won it in a runaway, and most people knew that going in. And also, Baker Mayfield is a WWE-style heel, which most people don't want to cheer for, don't want to see succeed, and aren't going to sit through an hour-long buildup to watch him take home the Heisman Trophy. When I was a kid, 20, 25 years ago, and even a little bit further back than that, 1985, Bo Jackson, Chuck Long, the Heisman Trophy. I remember watching the highlights on the news every year with the Heisman Trophy presentation at the Downtown Athletic Club in New York City, and the tuxedos and all of the former greats. And for the longest time, and you know, if somebody asked the trivia question, who is the only multiple winner of the Heisman Trophy? Archie Griffin, Ohio State. One of the highlights of my life, at least career-wise, was covering a Heisman Trophy presentation in 2002 in person, although unfortunately the Downtown Athletic Club couldn't host that event at that point in time because it had to be raised after 9/11. So this was at the Yale Club when Carson Palmer beat out Brad Banks for the award in 2002. To me, the Heisman Trophy was always a big deal. And somewhere along the line, I think I'm falling in line with a number of other people where I'm just not that interested anymore, to the point last week when we were discussing a poll question on Friday, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, I didn't realize they were presenting the trophy last Saturday.
Well, what do you think is causing it? Because I'm with you. I grew up as somebody who, the week after the conference championships ended, I knew that that Saturday was going to be Heisman Saturday, and I knew it this year. I wasn't going to sit there for an hour and watch something that I knew the outcome of. I watched bits and pieces of the Heisman ceremony, but I knew what the outcome was going to be. So I think that has part of the ratings, has a little bit to do with why the ratings drop, but Is this a one-year thing, or is this a sign of things to come? Because last Saturday, the Army-Navy game drew a 5.9 overnight rating, and the Heisman Trophy presentation drew a 1.5 overnight rating. It's a big discrepancy.
It's a trend over the last five. It's not just this year, and that's, I think, what has a number of people alarmed. The other red flag here is the article that appeared in Sports Illustrated, where you have, it was written by the son of a Heisman Trophy winner, talking about how winners of the trophy have questions about the Heisman Trust, which runs the trophy presentation, handles the finances. The previous winners, want more of a say in how the Heisman Trust is run. And the Heisman Board does not want them to have a voice. And because of that, a number of past winners boycotted this year's ceremony and are going to continue to do so going into the future. So it's not just that the profile nationally has diminished, but it's the guys that have won the award itself who are saying, we are willing to turn our back on the Heisman Trophy presentation because we don't agree with the direction that the board is taking the trophy. And you look at a number of other awards out there, the Davy O'Brien, the Maxwell, the Bednarik, they're all big awards. There's undoubted. They're part of the ESPN, the Home Depot College Football Awards show. It's a big night. People tune in and watch it. And the Heisman's just sort of over here on this island by itself. And 30, 40 years ago, you would have Hollywood A-list celebrities that would show up at the Downtown Athletic Club because the Heisman Trophy presentation was an event. It was a thing to be at and be seen at. And now you have former winners who aren't even showing up at it. That's how diminished the ceremony has become. Why is that? 319-366-1600. And I know a number of people are going to point to previous winners. Johnny Manziel's name comes up in the discussion. Tim Tebow was the first underclassman to win the award. He won it his sophomore year. Manziel was the first, I believe, to win it as a freshman. We've seen a number of... I think it may also have to do with the number of Heisman Trophy winners that have won and gone on to flop in the NFL. When's the last... And I'm probably going to get bit here because it's probably relatively recently, but how many Heisman Trophy winners in the last 10 years have gone on to highly productive, high-profile careers in the National Football League?
I'm trying to think a couple that come to mind. Marcus Mariota is probably the name that in the past 10 year, Cam Newton as well. But yeah, I get your point.
I'm not necessarily saying that that's the cause behind people looking at the award and going, eh.
I don't know. I don't know why the interest has been down. And maybe the past couple of years, people have been a little bit frustrated as to who won the award. I thought it was a runaway this year. Lamar Jackson last year kind of limped into winning the award. There weren't a lot of big-time candidates to win the award last year. And then Derrick Henry the year before. I know a lot of people were upset that Christian McCaffrey didn't win. I really can't come up with a good theory as to why people have shied away from it.
You go back to 2002, which is the year that Carson Palmer beat out Brad Banks. And the list of winners moving forward, Jason White, the Oklahoma quarterback, not much to say about in the NFL.
Nothing to say about in the NFL.
Matt Leinart, complete utter failure in the NFL. Reggie Bush had to vacate the 2005 trophy. Troy Smith at Ohio State, sort of we mentioned him last week as the forgotten Heisman Trophy winner. People forget about how good Troy Smith was. Tim Tebow won in 2007. Sam Bradford in 2008. has sort of resurrected his career this year with the Vikings. But prior to that, Mark Ingram in 2009 has been solid, but not spectacular with the Saints. Cam Newton in 2010, okay, there's an MVP. Robert Griffin III in 2011. Johnny Manziel, 2012. Jameis Winston, 2013. Marcus Mariota, 2014. Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. Okay, the winners are lacking in star power at the next level.
They are.
But if you look back, you know, 92, Gino Toretta, 1990, Ty Detmer, 1989, Andre Ware.
Charlie Ward. Didn't even play
Doug Flutie,
in the NBA instead.
Doug Flutie in 84. So, I mean, this is not unique.
Danny Werfel.
To the last 15 years where guys that win the award don't go on to great success in the NFL. So what is it? And I think, you know, there was a discussion on social media, on Twitter earlier today, and maybe part of it is Heisman fatigue. Because when does the talk of the Heisman and the front runner, it starts...
Before the season.
And I remember the Joey Harrington billboards in New York City, and maybe that's a part of it. Heisman fatigue, because it's very similar to presidential elections right now. We have a presidential election every 4 years, but people start talking about it 3 years out, and sometimes even sooner than that. They're already talking about who's going to run in 2020. And so... by the time the election rolls around, you want to get the dang thing over with. And the Heisman Trophy in week one, who's the front runner? Well, it's got to be Lamar Jackson. He won last year. And then in week two, put forth a new front runner. And then week three, hey, Saquon Barkley. There's no possible way that Saquon Barkley is going to lose this award, not after what he's done the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Saquon Barkley didn't even get invited to the trophy presentation. Which, as some people have argued, you take a massive fan base like Penn State and that viewership is out the window. Maybe it's the fact that most people know on Twitter ahead of time, okay, it looks like Baker Mayfield's going to run away with this.
How much of it is positional bias, too? The fact no other position other than the Charles Woodson is the last non-quarterback or running back to win the award.
I don't think you're ever going to see a defensive player or a lineman win this award ever again. It's essentially the best offensive player award and almost boils down to the best offensive player on the best team in college football award or one of the best teams.
Or even the best quarterback or running back on the best team. Wide receivers very rarely win the award.
The days of a guy like Andre Ware winning the award at the University of Houston, they've sailed. And again, I don't know what's wrong or if there is anything wrong with the Heisman Trophy right now. I just know that for the last 5 years, more and more people are not watching the presentation. More and more people could not care less about the trophy, and given the response or lack thereof of this discussion about whether or not something is up with the Heisman Trophy and why people don't, maybe that drives the point home. People just don't even care to talk about it.
Todd, can you tell me the last wide receiver to win the award? I'll give you...
the last wide receiver... I rattled off that big, long list of guys, and not a single one of them was a wide receiver.
Friend of the show. Friend of KGY. He was on the previous program.
Friend of KGY... you got to go all the way back to Desmond Howard, right?
Correct.
And Howard was a two-way guy.
Yes, he was a punt returner as well.
He was known mainly as a punt returner and wide receiver at Michigan.
Last true wide receiver was Tim Brown in 1987.
Tremendous wide receiver at Notre Dame, back when Notre Dame and Lou Holtz were Notre Dame. But yeah, it's a quarterback or running back award at this point. And both of those positions have other awards. So, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I read that story in Sports Illustrated, And I took a look at the, I think it was Awful Announcing or some website had the story about the viewership numbers, and I thought, 2 and 2 adds up to 4. There's something here. There's got to be. And then as I tweeted, what did the trophy do? Take a knee? Why is 50%? Why is there a 50% viewer? Are we boycotting the Heisman Trophy for some reason? We don't like who wins it? I don't know. The trophy is an inanimate object. It can't take a knee. 6:54. What we can do is take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll have your final big board update of the night, and then let you know what's on tap for Wednesday's edition of the show. Don't go anywhere. Back to put the finishing touches on it after this.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
There are still companies that care. Companies that have your back. Companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
All right, 6:55, Kyle's in the studio. That can mean only one thing. Time now for a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson continued their crusade across the honor list today, being named first-team All-Americans by the Sporting News. The duo achieved consensus status yesterday and are now just one more selection away from unanimous All-American status. The American Football Coaches Association will release their teams tomorrow and could give the Hawkeyes their first pair of unanimous All-Americans since Chuck Long and Larry Station in 1985. Former Iowa State quarterback Jacob Park is reportedly asked to be released from his scholarship and intends to transfer. Park took an indefinite leave on October 6th for personal reasons and now seems to feel that the fans have turned against him and he's not going to get his job back. Iowa women's basketball player Megan Gustafson was named to the Big Ten's weekly honor roll again this week. She's been recognized every week of this season, and I want to give you an idea how dominant she's been, averaging over 21 points per game and 12.5 rebounds on 70% shooting. She's second in the Big Ten in scoring, first in rebounds, and second in the nation in total rebounds and field goal percentage. She also leads the country with 10 double-doubles. She's got the Hawkeyes sitting at 10-1, and today they made their first appearance in the top 25, coming in 25th. We've got some high school basketball tonight right now over on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. We've got a girl-boy doubleheader between City High and Iowa City West. And beginning at 7:30, we'll also have the Cedar Rapids Washington boys hosting Dubuque Hempstead. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right, we've reached out to Toby Gardenhire, the 2018 manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and we'll have him on the program at some point in the near future. The Minnesota Twins have not officially announced him as the Colonel's manager yet, so nobody wants to come forth and say anything until that actually happens, but the Twin Cities media have reported that, so we're going to have him on the show at some point. We've got Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions, 6 o'clock showdown, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Join us.